Welcome to Come Follow Me, Mental Health Insights with Dr. David Morgan. Each week we'll review a concept from the Come Follow Me lesson and talk about applications to improve our mental and emotional health. Hi, welcome to episode 39 of season 2. This week we are studying 2 Corinthians chapters 8 through 13. And these are the final instructions of Paul to the ancient saints in Corinth. And as in his previous writings, Paul uses some of his personal experiences to teach gospel principles. But prior to going into some of his personal examples, he gives some counsel that can help us learn how to grow and progress just kind of in a general way. And at this time, when Paul was writing, there were pockets of extreme poverty in Corinth and the surrounding areas. And Paul had become aware of the people who were suffering, and he was encouraging those who had means to help those who did suffer. And I imagine this played out similarly to the way it probably would today. Oftentimes we hear of difficulties that others are experiencing and our hearts go out to them. Recently, there have been terrible floods and earthquakes in foreign lands where many have died and thousands more suffer. Not too long ago, there were some massive wildfires in Hawaii that resulted in complete devastation for a great number of people. And I think when we read about these things and we hear about them, we naturally have empathy for these groups and we pray for their recovery. But do we ever do more than that? Do our good intentions start and end with positive and loving thoughts for those who suffer? Paul addresses this in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, starting in verse 10. It says, quote, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the thing of doing it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." When I read this, what made sense to me was Paul saying to perform the doing of it. And I think what he's saying is that good intentions are great, but we need to follow through with action on those intentions. And this is often an issue when we talk about personal change. Many times we know what we need to do, but we don't follow through with it consistently. Just the other night, I had the opportunity to speak to a group of women, and we talked about changing our thoughts from negative thoughts to positive thoughts. And after the meeting, a sister came up and thanked me for my remarks. And she said that personally, she had a long history of negative thinking about herself, but that as we had had a discussion that evening, she was inspired to change because of the things that she had heard. And so her goal was to go home and to start thinking more positively about herself. And I told her I thought that was amazing, but I warned her that the process that she was about to engage in was going to take a while, especially in her case where these thoughts had been a pattern for many, many years. We cannot undo long-standing patterns of behavior with a single decision or a couple days' worth of effort. So I encouraged her that even though she would proceed in this process and likely fail, that she needed to keep going and that eventually she would succeed. So anytime we are trying to change negative thought patterns or negative behavior patterns, we need to, one, do the things that will lead to change, and two, do those things consistently for an extended period of time. Change happens when, like Paul taught, we perform the doing of it, meaning we apply the things that we've learned. And that's one of the main reasons that I always end my podcast with an invitation to act. It's to help my listeners understand that positive change is built on our own action. We need to chart a course forward and then stay the course. And no matter how many times we backslide, we just get up and keep moving forward. Now, Paul goes on to teach about the purpose of trials, especially as that can help to keep us humble. We read in 2 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 7, quote, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, we don't know what the thorn was that Paul was referring to. It could have been a physical liability. It could have been an emotional or mental health liability. But we do know that it was distressing to him. And he prayed sincerely that God would take it away, but his prayer was not answered. And so Paul's reaction to this was to accept that his weakness would not be removed and that he would try to learn what he could from it. And this is similar to what the Lord taught the prophet Moroni in Ether chapter 12, verse 27. It reads, "And if men come unto me, I will show unto them their weakness. I give unto men weakness that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them." From this scripture, it is clear that some weakness comes from God. It is his way of helping us stay humble and helping us turn to him. When Paul was praying for his thorn or his weakness to be removed, I can almost hear the voice of the Lord telling him, "But if I answer your prayer and remove the thorn, then you won't be able to progress like I want you to." And I imagine that many people with emotional or physical liabilities have spent much time on their knees praying for those trials to end. Sometimes the Lord answers their prayers and sometimes he doesn't. But in either case, his reaction is going to be for the best for our ultimate development. So if you find yourself in the camp of those who have been praying for the thorn to be removed and yet the thorn is still there, then I invite you to react as Paul did. He said he would take pleasure in his infirmities, which I think means striving to learn how he could grow from his trials. Sister Linda S. Reeves, former counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency, taught the following: "The trials and tribulation that we experience may be the very things that guide us to come unto him and cling to our covenants so that we might return to his presence and receive all that the Father hath." She's teaching that our difficulties or those thorns that are in our side oftentimes are the very things that help us move along the path back to our Heavenly Father. And in the 1995 October General Conference, Elder Richard G. Scott of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles taught about the nature of trials. And what most people don't know is that just 5 months prior to that General Conference, Elder Scott's wife of 42 years died prematurely. And Elder Scott lived for many, many years after his passing, after her passing. And I'm sure he was, at just 5 months after her death, he was likely grieving and wondering why he was called to pass through such trials. Why, when other couples lived together for many more years, why was his wife called home so much earlier than most? And Elder Scott taught the following in that conference. Quote, "When you face adversity, you can be led to ask many questions. Some serve a useful purpose, others do not. To ask, why does this have to happen to me? Why do I have to suffer this now? What have I done to cause this? These questions will lead you into blind alleys. It really does no good to ask questions that reflect opposition to the will of God. Rather, what am I to do? What am I to learn from this experience? What am I to change? Who am I to help? How can I remember my blessings in times of trial?" End of quote. Responding to our liabilities like Paul or like Elder Scott can help us grow stronger and get closer to the Savior. It can help us better keep our covenants and increase priesthood power in our lives. As we learn to see our trials differently and as the Lord sees them, we can move forward with determination and grace, regardless of how many thorns continue to cause us grief. And as I mentioned before, I always end my podcast episodes with an invitation to act. And I just ask that you give prayerful consideration to which of these invitations would be good for you on your current journey. So the one for this week is to think of a difficulty that you are currently facing and then answer Elder Scott's 5 questions regarding that challenge or difficulty. And here are those questions again. What am I to do? What am I to learn from this experience? What am I to change? Who am I to help? And how can I remember my many blessings in times of trial? I have free worksheets that you can download to help you remember and implement the weekly invitations. To find out how to get these, just sign up for my email newsletter, and you can find that link in the show notes. I also invite you to subscribe so you can easily access new episodes each week, and please share the podcast with those that you think it might help. And there's written podcasts I'm sorry, there's written transcripts of the podcast, and you can find that link in the show notes. Thank you for listening. And until next time, this is Dr. David Morgan reminding you that change is possible, but change requires action, and to always keep moving forward. Thanks for listening. If you want to learn more, please visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drdavidtmorgan.com.